sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. First four verses. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, again I thank you tonight for your word, and thank you for your wonderful promises. Thank you, Father, that tonight, Lord, you've promised that you'll empower us and help us. Lord, we certainly thank you for that. Ask you, Lord, to give me wisdom that I need from thee. And Lord, for the clarity of mind and thought and speech. And Father, I pray just for extra strength, something that I need from thee tonight. I ask you for it. And Lord, that you'd help us as we hear the word of God, and be willing then, Lord, to mind what it says. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Tonight we're going to bring a message. We're going to continue our messages on the home. And tonight we're going to bring a message which we've entitled Principles for Child Raising. Principles for Child Raising. You say, Brother Ross, mine's already raised. Well, you've still got some grandchildren. You've still got some great-grandchildren. And some of these principles will not only help the parents that are raising their little ones, but it'll help us to understand and be a blessing. The Bible says in Ephesians 6th chapter, the children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We're not going to stay too long with this chapter, this portion of Scripture, but I want to simply say to you, children, that's an admonition from the Lord. It's a command of God. Now, he doesn't say to us if we want to or not. He says to obey your parents. You see, the Word of God tells us that it's right in God's eyes if we obey our parents, okay? All you children listening, it's right and proper because God says it is, okay? You do it because God says to, okay? It's right and proper. And he says, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And God says that we are to honor thy father and thy mother. The word honor basically speaks of two things. I'm sure it has much more deeper meaning, but it has two things in it when it speaks of the word honor. It speaks of with our lips. We honor them with our lips, and we honor them with our actions. When you find the word honor, you'll find that those two things are prevalent when it talks about it. We speak with them. We honor them with our lips, kindness and grace to them. We also honor them with actions, be kind and gracious to them. And then the Bible says that the promise is that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. We know the commandment, and back in the book of Exodus, where it gives us the Ten Commandments, it promises us if we will honor mother and father, that we will live long upon the earth. That is the principle. Now, there is sometimes that people's lives are cut short other than because they didn't honor their mother and father. We realize that. We understand that. But the principle is there that if you're going to honor mother and father, have a long life. Understand? So, young people, again, I want you to hear that. I want you to listen to it. Perk up. Don't pay attention to anything else. Don't be writing. Don't be doing those things. Listen. You honor mom and father. Okay? You honor them. Okay? Because God says to. You say, why should I do it? Because God says to. That's enough. You don't need to go any further. God says to. And he also says that you have a long life. Okay? You want a good life. You want a blessed life. You want an honorable life. And you honor your mother and your father. Okay? You do that. Because God's word says to do it. It goes on and he says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And once again, he speaks to the fathers, and he says, fathers, you're to not provoke your children to wrath. We probably will talk about that in another message, so I will not spend a whole lot of time on that. But there's ways that we can provoke our children to wrath by basically expecting a lot more out of them than they're even able to perform. We'll talk about this in a little while. We'll get into this deeper later on. But the thing about it is, you must remember the age of your children. That's important in your raising them. It's important to understand their abilities. So it's important that we understand those things. And then, of course, he says, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Nurture, speaking of chastising, of discipline, and admonition, speaking of speaking to them and talking to them and training them and speaking to them and bringing them up in the admonition and the nurture of the Lord. But tonight I basically want to give you some principles for child raising. Dads, let me say something to we dads. We're the key to raising dedicated children in the home. We are the key. Don't put it off anywhere else. Now, I'm not saying to us that mothers, you have nothing to do about it, you have nothing saying, because that would be false. What I'm saying is the dad is the key. Why? Because you and I are the leader. We're the one God has put in the home to be the leadership of the home, so we are the key to it. Now, there's no doubt about it, your helpmate will do much of the day-by-day duties. I think you understand that. You're away at work, you're away providing a living for your family, and there's no doubt about it, the moms are going to be given over to much of the training and duties, but it's the dad that sees to it that those things are done and accomplished. The instructions are given, and the mom follows those through and puts those instructions into practice. That's the plan that God has given for the family. So, dads, we need to grab a hold of it. We need to do it. We need to say that we're going to raise godly children. Now, if you're going to have godly children, let me say to you, the best thing to do is start early. Real early. I mean early. Okay? Now, some of us, you know, we may have learned late. I don't know about that, but I'm saying you start as early as you can. Some of you people have got young children. Start early in the training of your children. Start very early in the training and the discipline of your children, and God will bless you for that, and He'll help you down the road, and you'll be glad you did it down the road. It'll save you a whole lot of problems down the road if you'll do it right at an early age. Now, there's some things I basically just want to kind of go over for us to remember, some principles that would be good for us to remember. First of all, a child's worth lies not in his good looks or natural abilities. I want you to understand something, because this is a hard one. We have within our families, we had four children, and each one of them had different abilities. And different looks and different abilities. And I say to you, the worth is not in their abilities or their looks. You must understand this, because if you don't, you begin to favor one over another and say, well, listen, look what all he can do or all she can do and this and that, and look to that one and begin to have favor of that one. The worth of a child is not in the abilities that that child has, but in the fact that they are your child. You know why God loves me? Because I have great abilities? Oh, no, no, no. He loves me because I'm his child. I am his child. No matter what abilities I have or don't have, It does not determine the love of God for me. And that's very, very important. I remember back, I had preached this, something similar to this, and I remember Bobby and David was in, and we was discussing after the service, and Bobby said, well, Jerry, now he was a smart one. He found out that he told Dad he was going to be a preacher, so he got by with anything he wanted. And of course that's not true. In the Jerry didn't decide to be a preacher, or God didn't call him till the middle of junior and senior year. But what I'm saying is, from that I thought something. We've got to be very, very, very careful. You see, and I searched my heart about that, and I guarantee you, I came up with what I know is in my heart. There is not one iota a difference of the love I have for any one of my children. Not the love I have for them. I love my children. Each and every one of them is my children, and I love them from the bottom of my heart. The love is not determined by ability or anything else. And God loves me because I am a child of Him. I may not always please Him, but He loves me, and I cannot get out from underneath the banner of His love. It's an impossibility. And He loves me as much as He loves you. And He loves you as much as He loves me. Well, that's a wonderful thing. You get a hold of that, it'll help you. All right? It'll help you a lot. So when it comes to love, there's no difference. Now, works, as we said, do not determine God's love for us. It's not works that determines the love of God. Faith is what pleases God. When we have faith, it pleases God. And let me say to you, in 3 John 1:4, He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in faith. And now, if my child walks in faith and does right, certainly that produces and gives me joy of that child. But it does not change the love of that child. Do you think if your child went out and committed some kind of crime, do you think you would say, I do not love that child anymore because he committed a crime? Well, I think if you was the right kind of mother and father, you would not say that. Oh, no, no, no. You would not have the joy with that child as you had with maybe the other one that was obedient, but the love would never change. The love for that child is the same. You love them because they're your child. And I believe that's so important that we get across to our children. They are loved because they're ours. Not because they have a greater ability or less ability than someone else. And let me say to you, parents, please, please, listen to this preacher. Do not tag on to one of your children that burden of being you saying all the time to them how great they are. They can't meet up to it. Brag on them. It's all right to brag on them, but don't put a burden on them of their greatness. And you do two things there. You destroy and you hurt the other child, the brother or sister, that has to sit and says, I'm not as good as brother or sister. Because mom and dad tell them all the time how good he or she is. And I'm not that good. Well, that's silly. That's silly. The love of that individual should not be determined on whether they have this ability or that ability, and we'll probably talk a little bit more about that. But occupation is not what determines the worth of a child. You understand? It is not determined by that. It's because they are your children, and God has given them to you. I'll give you an illustration. I remember setting the people setting probably right about where Cheryl is sitting back there right in front of Jeff, right in that area. You remember Mrs. Clark, Waldo Casey's mother. You remember her well. Some of you was here. You remember her. And I still today will never forget it. I remember walking down that aisle to shake hands with Mrs. Clark. And beside her, for the first time that I had ever met Waldo Casey, Waldo was sitting beside Mrs. Clark. I remember that so well. And I walked up and I said, hi, Mrs. Clark, how are you? She was very faithful to church. You remember, she always came on Sunday mornings. And she said, oh, I'm fine. And she said, this is my son, Waldo. So proud. And Waldo, you know how Waldo, he grinned, you know? You remember? He did grin, look around, you know? Well, Waldo's what we'd call probably a little slow, a little retarded. But he was a growing man. And she was so proud, though, that was her son. It was not determined by the worth of that man or his ability or his greatness or anything like that. It was determined completely because that is my son. Amen? And you know, we need to remember that in our families. These children are ours and they're blessed and they're wonderful. Why? Because God gave them to us. And even though they may have different abilities, they may not be, some may be smarter than others or whatever, it makes no difference. They are our children. And we ought to treat them with the same respect and the same love that we would have for the other ones. You know, pretty babies get the attention. Pretty or athletic type win the popularity contest. Don't kid me. That's true in the world standard. And let me say to you, we Christian must be different. You know what? Listen, you know, many times the reasons we're proud of our children is they read well, or they run fast, or they sing well, or they play an instrument, or they star in some kind of sport, or they get A's in school, and we are proud. Now, is there anything wrong with being proud of those things? No. But that's not the basis of our proudness for our children. We're doing the same thing that the world does. We're putting a standard of worldly activity upon our children. We say we're proud of them because this, this, and that. They run well. They're smart. They do this. They get A's. Oh, my goodness, come off of that. That's what the world does. Why can't we be proud of them if they have worked hard and they get a B? What if they've run the fastest they could run and they come in last? Can't we be proud? I mean, amen. Certainly we encourage them to do well, and we encourage those things. But we've got to remember, God gives gifts and God gives the talents, and maybe one of your children cannot sing as well as the other one can sing. Does that make them any less of a child? No. Well, of course not. But we in worldly standards many times pick up those worldly standards. And we begin to look at them, and that's the way we judge a child's worth. Is he a sport hero? Does he star on the football, basketball, baseball team? Boy, he's really great, isn't he? Well, how about that one that doesn't star? Is he just as good, or is he just as great? Well, yeah. Huh? Amen. You see, and God is trying to teach us things like this. Listen, the world has been teaching this for years and years. Cinderella, her importance became about because she was beautiful. Remember that? And do you remember what her sister's was? Two things. She was ugly and mean. Ugly and mean go together. I mean, that's the world standard. Is that right? The sisters was mean and they was ugly. Cinderella was beautiful. Amen? And so she was perfect and good. But that's the standard we pick up. You hear me? You know, Snow White's supposed death. It was so awful. You know why? Because she was beautiful. You're beautiful. She was wonderful. Now, you know what happens? The ugly and untalented soon get the picture and the message. I'm not as good because I'm not pretty and I'm not talented. And we leave that, and if we don't be careful, we'll leave that amongst our own children. And that's just not true. We've seen it in bus kids down through the years. You bring them in here and you'll see them feeling so out of place and feeling unworthy because they're poor bus kids. Folks, that doesn't matter about their worth to God. I mean, and let me say on the other side, they're no better than the children here in the church either. I mean, the worth of a child is not determined whether they're poor or they're a bus kid or not a bus kid. It's because they are children and they're God's children and they're important to God. And we look at an individual sometimes and we'll say, boy, look at that. Boy, he is ugly or she is ugly. Now, listen, you know what we got to remember? God made that individual. And he made them just like he wanted them. That's a world standard. That's not God's standard. God doesn't know the word ugly as far as an individual is concerned. That's the world's come up with that. We've done that. Amen? So remember in your children, remember they're loved of God and every one of them is important. And they're just as precious as the other one. You know, God says he loved the world, did he not? I mean the whole world. Did you know that means the ugly too? That we would consider ugly? Did you know that means the lame? The ones that can't hardly get around? You think God loves them? Huh? You think he loves them so much that the ones can run? You see, we just got this thing way out of focus. And we as Christians help to do that many times. The uncoordinated that can't write too good and can't hardly walk. I have a nephew, my brother's son, Kerry. Some of you probably met Kerry. Kerry was the result of his mother having measles when she was carrying him. And it was like a Dow syndrome type situation. And Kerry must be 22 or 3, probably, or 4 now. I don't know, somewhere in there, you know. And he's retarded, but he gets around and does well, you know. Do you think God loves him any less? Well, I want to tell you something. I treat him like a prince. Like we drove all the way down to Tennessee when he was living in a home down there for a little while trying to help him and things. We drove all the way down to Tennessee to see him. I treat him like a prince. He's as important as my children are. He's the love of God. And he's important, and we've got to understand that. And sometimes we'll stick up our noses at these kids that just can't do right. They're uncoordinated. And we'll stick our nose up at them. Shame, shame, shame. God made them. Amen? So remember that within your own families. Be careful, be careful, be careful how you treat your family. Each one of these precious children is different because God made them different. He didn't make them all the same. Amen. I'm not talking about they need to be trained and taught and helped and disciplined and all that. I'm not talking about that. But their worth is determined because God made them. And that they're your children. I know how you love your children. You love them when they're good and when they're bad, don't you? You really love them. I mean, you get aggravated at them. You want them to do right, but you still love them, don't you? And you love them if they can't do everything like some other child can do. And you should. You see, we have just got to get away from that other thing and remember the worth of a child is determined because of who he is, not what he is. Understand? Now, I want another point that I'd like to share with you and help you. A child does not know all the things that you know. You say, well, that's simple, but I want you to remember that. You know how children learn? They are taught. And they're a little child, a little baby, and they have to grow up. You are an adult. You've already been down through that. They don't know everything you know. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in their heart. They will not naturally do everything right. It's bound in them. You have got to help get that out. You've got to help train them. You've got to understand that you cannot expect them to act like adults because they're not adults. You've got to look at the age of that child and say he's either 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and look at it and say, what should he be doing as a 6-year-old? How has he been growing? And what does he understand? And is he doing pretty good? And is he minding and learning and growing pretty good for a 5 or 6-year-old? And look at it that way. Don't expect him to be like a 15-year-old. A 15-year-old has been around a little longer. He's learned. He's been taught. And many times we'll look at these little precious children and we'll say, "What, you dummy, why are you doing that?" They are not dummies. They're just not very old yet. And they got to learn. And they got to grow. You say, Brother Ross, they'll put you on too. I know, but that's all comes from part of the training you got to do with them. But they still don't expect them to act like an adult. A lot of times we'll look at them, well, don't you know better than that? Hey, it took you 20 years or 30, 40 years to learn it. I mean, amen? You see, what we've got to understand is they don't know everything you know. They're still learning. And they've got a whole lot of learning to do, you see. Now, let me also tell you, remember the pressures they face. Many changes are going on in their bodies as they grow up. I think I mentioned this before. But folks, you've got to remember that it's a hard job to get from a young man and young lady into womanhood and manhood. It's not easy. A lot of pressures upon them. A lot of changes going on in their body. Because they're growing, they're learning. And they don't look at things like you do yet because they're not there yet. And they've got all these self-centered things a lot of times that you've got to help them with. But they've got to learn. And let me say to you, acceptance by their peers is a prime concern to them. They look around at those that are their peers, and you'll say, well, just stand up for God, brother. When we don't. Now, should they stand up for God? Yes, I believe we ought to teach our children how to stand alone and stand for God. I believe that with all of my heart. But that's a learning process. It just doesn't come overnight, and it won't come unless you teach it. And help them to do it. It won't come. Because peer pressure. You remember back when you was a boy, a girl? You remember what you thought about those around you? And how they felt about you? Made a difference, didn't it? And let me say it does to them too. Now does that change the fact that they ought to do right? No. But it's just we in our mentality have got to remember the fact that they're facing certain things and we got to help them through it and we got to help them grow. We got to discipline them correctly and rightly and teach them and train them and help them through those things. Okay? Another thing I want you to remember, probably something that I did not do enough. Listen to your children. Now you say, Brother Ross, if I listen to my children, I'm going to tell you right now, I'd never get anything else done. But you got to learn the difference between when it gets foolish and when it's honest answer or honest questions. Do you know, they? I don't know whether it's 2 years old, 3 years old, somewhere in that area, this why business starts. But why? Now, you know, we look at that and we about drive us nuts sometimes, amen? But listen to me. They're earnest in that.
They're trying to learn. Now, I know they get foolish, and you've got to control it, and you've got to keep it in bounds, but that's the way they learn. And you've got to help them by that. The Bible says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. These little ones are not so dumb. And we've got to remember something. They are little, and we need to once in a while listen to them. When they want an answer from us, it is right for us to give it to them. If it's honest question, right kind of question, it is right for us to give it to them and help explain. That doesn't mean that mom and dad has to explain everything that they do before they get the children to do it. I'm not saying that. But when it's an honest, good question, they want to know something, it's right for us to sit down with them and say, look, here's the principle, or here's what I'm trying to help you with. This is what God says in His Word, and this is why we should or should not do such a thing as this. Why? So they'll learn. There was, one of the nurse that told you today that her daughter, they're Christian folks, and her daughter had went to a place where she heard this fellow speak on rock music, and she went to listen to it and said she came home and said she had no problem anymore. She was explained to her why rock music was wrong, and she said, I want nothing ever to do with it again. But before she went, she didn't feel that way. But it was explained. It was taught, it was trained why it was wrong, why it was bad for them, and she came home saying, well, I don't want nothing to do with that. What I'm saying is sometimes we all are guilty of just not explaining what is wrong with it or what is good about it, okay? And so we need to listen to our children and remember, set them down and speak with them and talk to them and try to explain those things to them, help them to grow. Not only that, realize also they need a model to follow. They're looking for a consistent example in word and deed. Now, folks, listen to me. You know as well as I know. You wasn't when you was a young person. I wasn't either. Children and young people are not dummies. They pick up on things fast. And when there is not consistency, they're going to catch it real quick. And they're looking for a consistent role model in mom and dad to set the example before them in word and deed. It isn't enough to say, you know, just do as I say, not as I do. That's a worldly thing. It's not a scriptural thing whatsoever. It's for us to speak and to do in their presence so that they will pick up and do also. They need a role model. You've got to understand that. Listen to what Bertram Brown said. He was the director of the National Institute of Mental Health years ago. Here's what he said, but he said something good. A lot of times those folk don't, but he did say something good. He said, seeds of drug abuse can be sown early. Now listen, here's what he said. He said he was speaking to a bunch of parents. He says, do you take too much medicine? And then he said this, do you talk a lot about how much better you feel after you take the medicine? Now everybody knows there may be, you and I may have to take medicine. But how would we react to it? Do we say, oh boy, I'm glad I took that. Oh, I feel so much better. Man, things are getting better. We're sowing the seed that if they take something, they'll feel better. He went on to say, do they see you run to the bottle, whether it's aspirin, tranquilizers, or alcohol? When you get upset? Do you run to the tranquilizer bottle? Or the aspirin bottle every time you got a little finger hurts? Or an alcohol bottle? Say, boy, that soothes my nerves. Do you do that? You're sowing the seed of drug abuse. You see why? Well, listen to me. Children watch and they see. Now, you say, Brother Ross, maybe if I had to take medicine. If you had to take medicine, just don't make a big deal out of it. Okay? I know everybody has to take medicine. A lot of people have to take medicine. But just don't make a big deal out of it. Okay? You hear me? Help them. Because why? Everything you and I do in the home, we are training. We are training them. We're training them by word and deed. Now, discipline is something that we must have. I didn't take you back through the scriptures, and maybe I should have, but in the book of Proverbs, we may do that sometime, but in the book of Proverbs, over and over and over, God teaches us about discipline. And he even says to do it early. We're to begin it early. A lot of people say, well, I don't want to spank my child until he gets about 6 or 7 years old. You might as well forget it. You've done blew it. Now, what I'm saying is it begins early, and it also begins rightly. It doesn't mean that you give corporal punishment for stealing the cookie. You don't put them in an electric chair because they stole a cookie, right? You know, you've got to meet the need of the crime that they've done, amen, not overkill. But anyway, the purpose of discipline is to correct. Okay, listen to this. If a child has done something wrong, why are you wanting to discipline them? Shouldn't it be from the bottom of our heart that we want to correct them and teach them so that they'll be better and won't do that again and that they'll please God? And so we're going to have to be careful how we discipline and correct, because we want to make sure that is the purpose we are doing it for. Remember? You remember here a while back we taught on the subject, and I think it was the last portion of the book of James, where we talked about how we treat another brother that has erred. And how it's so important how carefully we do that. It's not that we do not do it, but we have to do it very carefully, because many times we're just wanting to straighten that brother out. I'll show him. I'll tell him a thing or two. That's the wrong purpose. If you really want to help a brother, it's because you want to help that brother do right and be a blessing, and you want to help straighten them out, not because you want to, but you want to show them scripturally that they're doing something wrong, and you want to help them to walk with God. Right? Ain't that the purpose? Well, isn't it the same thing with our children when we correct them? Wham, wham, wham. I'll show you a thing or two. Is that right? No. It should be because I want to correct that child. I want that child to be good for God. And I want to help him or her to be the very best they can for God. Amen? Many times punishment, we dole out punishment to prove our authority. Or to take out spite or to vent our own anger over something. We get mad and a child does something wrong and you pick them up and you whack them here and there. What are you doing? Let me just give you an idea. If you really want to help your child and he's done something wrong, and it say it does deserve a spanking, because let me say to you, the Bible says that if you spare the rod, you hate your child. You are to spank your children properly and rightly. And there's times when they should be spanked. All right? But listen, there's a way to do it. You ought to take your child aside. You ought to sit down with them. You ought to explain to them why you are having to spank them, what it was they did that was wrong. They should have that knowledge before you spank them. Understand? And then you should show them, if you've got some scripture pertaining to that, you should show them some scripture, why it would displease God. Not that it makes God mad at them, but any disobedience displeases God. It does in you, my child, and it does in me also if I displease God, if I disobey God. All right? And so we explain that, and then we administer the spanking in such a way as you don't just make them mad. If you hit them a couple times and they scream and holler and are mad at you, you failed. Spank them, not overly, but make them feel it until they cry softly. And then, again, tell them how much you love them and give them an old-fashioned hug. And then pray together and let them ask God to forgive them and put it all in the past. Do it in love and kindness, not spite. Understand? Hear me? When you do it in spite, you're not helping your child. They need to be taught what it is they've done wrong and that they deserve this correction, and but that you still love them very, very much. Amen? Now, as you raise your children, please do this. Don't disapprove the child, disapprove the act which they have done. Boy, that is so important. You say, you dummy. How often have you said, you dummy, you're a bad girl, you're a bad boy? They are not. The act that they did was bad. Not them. You understand? It's very important, because when you get it personal and you call them the bad girl, the bad boy, you are putting it on that mom and dad don't like me. But if you say, This is the deed that you did. This is what you did was wrong, and that was a bad thing to do. You understand what I'm saying? The deed becomes bad, not the individual child don't become bad. How many times have your children done good most of the day, and by the time daddy comes home, they turn into a holy terror? A monster. I mean, they've done good all day long. Daddy walks in the door and he says, well, how's the children been? Ah, they've been a monster. They haven't either. They've been a monster for maybe the last half hour. And they've done good all the rest of the day. But we forget. You know why? Because we are so upset because of some things they did in the last half hour that we just think it is terrible. We forget how good they were the rest of the day. Amen? And remember, how old are they? Are they going to do some things that maybe is not just correct? Well, I imagine so, because they're going to have to be taught through that day and learn through that day what is right and proper to do. Praise the good actions as from the Lord. Be careful again in praising the child, but praise those things they are doing that please the Lord. Because you can build into them a pride. But praise the actions they did. They washed the dishes without being asked. Wow. You say, that is a wonderful thing, and that pleases Mom and Dad so much that you did that, and I know that pleases the Lord. He likes obedient children, and thank you for doing that. You don't have to say, boy, she is a good girl. She's wonderful. Look out. You're putting a pressure on her that she can't hold up to. You understand? I remember a time back when I was a boy, and that's been a year or two. I would probably been around 14, 15 years of age. And my dad, we had, there's eight children. Well, nine in the beginning. One died, I think it was in 5 days old. But we had basically eight of us children. I was the youngest. And time they got around to me, dad's about like I am now. He about wore out, you know. He come home from work, he was tired. And we didn't spend maybe a whole lot of time together. But anyway, dad wanted some hay. And so I worked for a farmer, and the farmer said, well, dad was going to buy it off of him. He said to me, he said, just take the tractor and wagon home with the hay on it. When you come back to work in the morning, just bring the tractor and wagon back. I did that. And we was down at the wagon. Dad just got in from work, and we was throwing the hay into the hayloft. It was not a high barn, but it was where we pulled it up there and was throwing it. And all at once, my dad stepped back, and he looked, and he said, Bobby, he said, you've grown up on me. I never thought anything about it. I'd put up hay for the last couple, 3 years. And he said, you just thrown those bales around like they was nothing. Amen. Next one about went through the roof. Amen. And he went up and told Mom, he said, Mom, he said, you'll have seen Bobby throwing those. He said, I didn't realize he's that big. I realize he's that strong. He just forgot as time went by. But you know what? I am 52, going on 53, and I haven't forgot it. Amen? I haven't forgot it. My dad never doled out compliments a whole lot, and I'm kind of glad he doesn't. Compliments, if you don't be careful, will flatter people. And you read in the book of Proverbs, flattery, a flattering tongue is not a good tongue. But compliments, when they are deserved, is right and good. Amen? Proper, if they're put in their right place. Discuss things with your children. But be sure that you're there to help them make the proper decision. Listen to me. I realize as children grow older, we have to help them make decisions, and sometimes they have to come to the place where they make decisions. Be careful. It would be all right if they seen a bicycle, they was going to buy this, they'd worked their money, they had this bicycle, and they wanted to go out and buy it, and you looked at it and you said, I don't think it's worth that money. They said, but Dad, this is the one I want. There's nothing wrong with letting him make that decision, even if it's right or wrong, because he learns through right and wrong decisions. But when morality is involved, you don't ever let them make the decision. Not if it's a wrong decision. What are you going to do? Say, I want a date when I'm 13. Okay, let you make the decision. We'll see if it comes out right or not. Hogwash. No. When it comes to morality and things like that, you do not let them make that decision. You, the parent, makes that decision. You decide those things, what is proper and right in the eyes of God. Because don't you think that most of them's going to want a date when they're younger than 16 or 17? But don't let them do it. They're going to get mad at me. They're looking at me right now saying, oh, Pastor, you have literally killed me. But don't let them do it. Learn. Learn well. Learn from we old fogies that know better. We've got older. We've learned. Don't let them start dating very young. And when they do date, let them do it on double dating. Amen? Good, proper thing to do. Amen? Well, I've killed myself now. But you know what? You do that, and God will bless your life, and God will help you to make those decisions for your children. Do not let them make that decision. Correct swiftly and reasonably. I'm going to go real quickly. Do it swiftly. When they've done something, when something needs to be corrected, do it swiftly and reasonably. Okay? As I said earlier, I won't spend a lot of time on it. Don't give them corporal punishment. Don't give them the death, the electric chair for a little small item that they've done. Match the two up, the crime and the punishment, together. Understand? Another thing, and it's good, listen, throw out all rules that you are unwilling to enforce. Say, I've got some rules around here, and this way we're going to do it. If you're not going to enforce them, throw them out the window. Because they get a false picture when you say, this is the way it's going to be, and then you let them do something that you've just said you're not going to let them do. Throw out those rules that you're not going to enforce. If you're going to have them, enforce them. Don't nag at them. Speak to them as young people. Don't treat them like little children. I'm especially talking about teenagers. Speak to them right and don't nag. Give answers to them. When they ask, give them answers. Give responsibilities according to their ability. Look at your children. The Bible says to know the state of your flock. I believe a pastor is to know the state of my flock. I try very hard, whether you know that or not, I try very hard to know the state of all of my flock. I learn constantly the weaknesses of my flock and the strengths of my flock, as well as I do this pastor. But I am to know you. I know your weaknesses, I know your strengths, And I'm supposed to try to help you through those weaknesses and those strengths. So give responsibility according to their ability. Know your children. Know their abilities and give responsibilities accordingly. Don't expect children to show more self-control than you do. You just flew off the handle. You just lost your temper. And 10 minutes later, your child does that and you like to kill him. What are you doing hollering at your mom and dad? Well, you just hollered at dad. You just hollered at mom. I mean, what's the difference? Amen. Don't expect them to show more self-control than you do. Be honest with them. You can do that. Even when you fail, don't be afraid to say, I failed. I made a wrong decision. I done this wrong. I'm sorry about that. I should have done something else. And I'm sorry. Just be honest. Be consistent. We started off with that. Be consistent. That's very, very important. Be consistent in your discipline and in your Christian life and in your dealing with your children. Be consistent. If they can't date at 15 years old today, they can't do it tomorrow or the next day. You understand? Be consistent in what you tell them. And then lastly, love them. Just love them. And let me say this. Love them enough to correct them. Real love corrects. Don't tell me you love your child and you do not correct your child. That's absolutely wrong. It's contrary to the Scripture. Love will love them enough to correct them and help them to do right. Whatever discipline that takes to do that, do it. And love them. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your grace and your mercy, your wonderful love for us. Oh God, teach us, help us. Lord, we need to know so much about the raising of children, how to do it right. God, help us and teach us. And Father, help these dear parents as they raise their children to do it to the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.